I am speaking to you at a moment of grave crisis.
I'm Jeff Turner, and this is Recall. It's a series about history. Not the ancient past, but history that's still hot to the touch. In this first season, I explore a revolutionary political movement that brought a modern democracy to the brink. You can find Recall, How to Start a Revolution, on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
About a week before Sarah Goldberg was cast on the HBO show Barry as this aspiring actor, she was, in real life, an aspiring actor. Sarah Goldberg will be here to talk about getting that role of a lifetime and how it came from one of the strangest and, I gotta say, most hilarious audition stories I've ever heard. Plus, she'll talk about playing a Canadian as a Canadian and what you gotta make sure you get right. Sarah Goldberg, coming up. I'm Tom Power. You're listening to Q. Right off the bat, I need to tell you who Sarah Goldberg is. She's an actor from Vancouver. She got the role of a lifetime on the HBO show Barry. I don't know if you're watching that show, Barry. It is incredible. Stars Bill Hader as this like contract killer, murderer, hitman who wants to give up that life and become an actor. And Sarah Goldberg plays his girlfriend Sally, who's also an actor. And I mean, that show became one of the biggest successes on TV. And Sarah got all this critical acclaim for a very nuanced portrayal of Sally, this person who finds out her boyfriend is a killer but also has her own ambitions. I mean, we talk about all that. Sarah also has this new show called Sisters, where she plays a Canadian who finds out she has an Irish half-sister and they try to find their dad together. But yeah, Sarah came on the show to talk about Barry and about Sisters, but also to talk about what happened when people started calling her character unlikable, like more unlikable than a contract killer. What parts of being Canadian do you really need to show if you're playing a Canadian on TV? And how watching Henry Winkler look for his car in a parking lot was part of the moment that changed her life. Here's my conversation with Sarah Goldberg. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Tom. How are you?
Thanks for asking. I'm pretty good. I feel like it's an interesting time to talk to you. Like one show is ending and the other is beginning.
Yeah, it's a very interesting and curious time for me. Lots of feelings of nostalgia and excitement all at once.
I thought we could start by talking a little bit about Barry and maybe even a little bit about sort of pre-Barry. So where were you in your kind of acting career before Barry showed up?
Well, I'd actually just finished a series that ended very abruptly called Hindsight. We were canceled after having a second season pick up. It was my first sort of brush with how brutal this business can be. And I was very much unemployed. And I was in my bathrobe in the afternoon eating peanut butter and banana on toast when my incredible manager, Peter Koussakis, called me and said, Bill Hader has this new pilot for HBO and I think it's your part. And I was like, sure. Yeah. Okay. I'll do it. Sign me up. I mean, I'm available. Let me check my diary. Yeah. So, you know, it felt like such a leap and such a stretch. But I read the script and I really connected with the character. I just felt like I knew her. So yeah, I worked really hard and went through quite a lengthy audition process and got the role, yeah, which was pretty wild.
When you say you read the script, you felt like you knew her. What did you mean by that?
I don't know. I just felt like I'd met this type of person who had this kind of dream, slightly broken dream already, even at the top of the show, having moved to Los Angeles and left a difficult past. And she had this kind of myopic view of the world, you know, and somebody who just wanted something so badly. I just felt like I'd met her in a bar in LA, you know?
Hey, Barry? Hey, I wanted to say sorry for snapping at you back there. I didn't realize you were an actor.
Oh, I'm not an actor.
What are you gonna do for your monologue? I did the scene from The Blind Side, you know, the one where Sandy Bullock interrupts football practice. This team is your family. You protect his blind side. Do you remember that? It won her an Oscar.
Was there something to playing an aspiring actor after going through that sort of like, I mean, I guess cancellation, I guess that sort of like abrupt ending to that show you mentioned you were working on before. Was there something about going into a role as an aspiring actor?
Maybe. I mean, I just, you know, good scripts are hard to come by. And I think it was just her voice was so clear on the page and the comedy was so rich. And but yeah, I'm sure there was some part of me that was feeling that rock bottom desperation that was probably a good pairing.
I just mean that, like, if you're an actor and you're auditioning to play a firefighter, if you're an actor auditioning to play a grocer, though I don't know why you'd have to audition for that. But, you know, auditioning to play an actor is a different thing, you know?
Yeah, like I got it for free, as in, you know, it wasn't a big stress. All an actor. Yeah, yeah.
What?
That's right. I mean, I could definitely relate.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though, you know, her trajectory is so different to mine. You know, I started in theater and moved to London. I didn't have that LA, you know, pack up your car rejection trajectory quite like she had.
It's interesting to me to talk about like your theater background and the and Barry, because and correct me if I'm wrong here, and if I'm right, tell me, because I need it. believe me, I need it. The audition for Barry, you had to do improv with Bill Hader. And Bill Hader, by the way, for people who don't know, at this point had been like one of the most acclaimed Saturday Night Live cast members. You know, had written for South Park. He'd been in Trainwreck, like one of these like generational comedic actors. So you had to do improv with him in your audition?
Yeah. So the first round was sort of your regular audition with casting camera and a casting director, the amazing Sherry Thomas, who was just incredible. I mean, on Barry, there's not a weak link, and that's all because of her. She's extraordinary at her job. Anyway, we did the scenes that I'd prepared, and she was very helpful and a great reader and all those things. And then the next day I got a call from her saying, you know, don't leave town. Bill Hader wants to meet you. And do you mind if I give him your phone number? Because he wants to talk through, you know, what you might be doing in the audition. And I said, okay, yeah, that's fine. So Bill called me and he said, you know, how would you feel about coming in and improvising with me, you know, for a session? And I just said, not great. <You know? laughs> Like the prince of comedy. I had zero improv experience. It was completely not my background. Oh. Anyway, he just said, you know, you don't have to be funny. I'm going to give you three scenarios. And all I want you to do is think of a point of view for each scenario and then come in and we'll try it. While I was waiting to go in, there was this woman who was also going in and she was pacing back and forth and her nerves were becoming contagious. And I thought I better go hide down the stairwell. So I sat there down this stairwell with my script and I felt this presence like rush by me. And then they sort of pivoted and did a 180 and stuck their hand out. And it was Henry Winkler. And he went, hi, I'm Henry. Hi, I'm hallucinating. And he, you know, I introduced myself and then he said, are you going in to read? And I said, yeah, I am Henry. And he said, well, break a leg. And I said, thanks, Henry. How did yours go? And he said, you know what? If I had an answer to that question, I tell you this much, I had fun. And he sort of like waltzed out in this like regal way. And then I watched him and there was this huge window down the end of the stairwell. And for the next 20 minutes, I watched him go back and forth in the parking lot looking for his car. And I just thought, okay, I've had the full Los Angeles experience. I can definitely, I've won for the memoir, whether I get this job or not. So meeting him, I feel like infused me with the magic that that man possesses. He was probably the lucky ingredient. Anyway, so I went in and yeah, we read the scenes that were in the script and then we started the improv. And honestly, I've never laughed so hard in my life. We spent about an hour improvising. And what was great was Bill didn't hide behind the camera the way, you know, a director or a reader would usually in these auditions. He got up on camera with me. So it felt like we were really building something together.
Does this look military to you?
Are you playing someone in the military?
A medic.
You know, I used to be a Marine, so if there's any questions you want to ask me?
No. I can ask Mike. He's an agent. He gets it.
Cool.
So I'm just going to prepare.
Oh, okay. For your audition?
Mm.
Cool. So I should probably leave is what you're saying?
Oh, you're sweet.
All right.
You know, and then he walked me out and thanked me so much for coming in this way that I thought, okay, well, that's that. I mean, this is a nice story to go back to New York with. And then I got a call the next day saying, don't leave town. They want to screen test you on Friday. So it was all very quick. I was. I don't know. I didn't know Los Angeles at the time. And I've never been late in my life. And I was 48 minutes late.
No. That, I thought you were going to say, I've never been late in my life. And I was 3 minutes late. You know what I mean? 48.
Unforgivably late. The amazing manager that I mentioned was driving me to my appointment, insisted. And we had the wrong address and we'd gone to the wrong place.
You must have thought it's all over. Like, there's no way.
I, in my mind, it was over. And poor Peter was like, I've ruined her life. Anyway, I walked in just, you know, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on your
show.
Go on. About to shit myself. And then I walked in. They couldn't have been nicer. And I was really there to meet Alec Berg, who I hadn't met yet. You know, and they got me a coffee. Alec offered me a coffee. I said, I will not be drinking that. I'm so sorry I'm 45 minutes late, 48 minutes late, but I have to go to the bathroom. So then I was even later. But by the time I got on camera, it was actually a scene from Terms of Endearment, the famous scene in the hospital with Shirley MacLaine, you know, where she's screaming about her daughter. So they called action and I just burst into tears. I really got it for free. In a roundabout way, maybe it got me the job. I was never late again.
Did they tease you about it afterwards? Did they ever give you a hard time about it?
Oh yeah, for years. I've never heard the end of it. Yeah, particularly the shit myself part. Because Bill did wait outside of the bathroom to check if I was okay, like a gentleman. But it was no end of humiliation. I've always said acting is very easy. It's just very embarrassing.
Yeah.
And that was a peak embarrassment day for me.
I mean,
but all's well that ends well.
I mean, all's well that ends well. I mean, like it's really amazing what Sally became, your character Sally became, because I'm here even now trying to, she's so complex. She's so many different things that I am struggling right now to define her. Like she is.
That's great.
You know what I mean? But like that's something that you got praise for and the character got praise for almost right out of the gate. That there was, you know, like, you know, that this was someone who was, you know, she's an aspiring actor. She's driven. She wants to be taken seriously as an actor. She's strong. She's weak. She's conniving. She's innocent. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to.
I know what you mean. And it's a list that could keep going. And I take it as a huge compliment. And I really appreciate it because, you know, at the time, what was frustrating me was reading parts for women that were none of those things. And they were often one thing. She's so sweet, or she's the bossy one, the bitchy one, the sexy one, you know, and these kind of female tropes that you see again and again, or, you know, the world is changing, but it's changing slowly. And, you know, I read her and there was a complexity to her. And that was something that I pushed for as the years went on. And I think you say there was praise out of the gate, but there was also a lot of backlash, which we were expecting. And there was so much noise online around her being an unlikable character, which was, you know, the likability barometer is something that we only associate with women and female characters. And it's just good old fashioned misogyny.
Yeah.
It's not even an adjective that you would use to describe someone. You know, you meet someone at a dinner party, you don't go away and say, you know what, they were so likable. I mean, it's beige, you know? So it was something that we actively fought against. And I was really adamant that we maintain her complexity. And this is a show about morally bankrupt people. And I did not want Sally to be exempt from that by virtue of being the female.
You want to know the worst part? You want to know what's really driving me crazy? I am so jealous that you're reading for this. I have never had a director session for a feature. And I have been doing this for way longer. And I think you'd agree that I am way better. I made you.
It's funny you mentioned the good old misogyny, because I read when I was doing research for this, I read a lot of discourse around your character's, you know, likability. And let's acknowledge again, unlikable, only a term used towards female characters.
Yeah.
And I read a quote, I think it might have even been Bill Hader, who said something like, people keep on calling Sally the most unlikable character on the show. My character murders people in cold blood. And that's somehow right. People call Sally the most
unlikable character.
Exactly. And says a lot about who we are as a society and as a culture, that's the response, that we're able to see a male behave that way on screen and they're sort of untouchable. And then a female behaves in a way that's ambitious, in a way that's a little bit vain or narcissistic. And that would be more, that there's a deeper allergy to that than to watching someone kill in cold blood. So I thought as a social experiment, that was pretty interesting. I wasn't surprised by it. I was obviously a little bit disappointed by it.
Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I remember reading all of these articles about Sarah Goldberg's portrayal of Sally, and there was so much of like, who is this actor? I mean, and you know, what is she saying about what it means to be a woman actor in 2023? What does it mean that she's being called unlikable so much? Then you find out that she really pushed for her character to be allowed to be a bad person. So now after four seasons, Barry is coming to an end. And Sarah's going to talk about doing something she's always wanted to do, which was create her own show. When did you hatch the plan for this other show, Sisters? Which let me introduce it here. Two women discover they are half sisters, go on a road trip to find their alcoholic father. When did this?
So my best friend Susan Stanley and I have been trying to write this show for 7 years. We're trying to get it made, and the love story goes way further than that. You know, back when we were in college, we were always trying to write together. We were these kind of precocious, self-serious little drama students. And then 7 years ago, we came up with this idea, you know, this Canadian woman, she finds out that her father isn't her father when her mother passes away, but he was an Irish busker that she was with when she was younger. And so she travels to Ireland to find him and instead finds her half-sister. Yeah, and they end up on the road trip to find their alcoholic dad. And we wanted to shoot in Ireland. There were a bunch of themes we wanted to explore: chosen family, trauma, alcoholism, but we wanted to do it all with a sense of humor. And yeah, we're really attracted to shows that kind of walk that line.
I forgot the effing diapers. Just say fuck or say nothing at all.
Wow. My mom always said swearing was unladylike.
Yeah? Your mom's dead.
She's dead.
So yeah, and then it was a labor of love and two steps forward, 10 steps back for years. It turns out it's really hard to get a television show made.
Who knew?
So finally we did it, and we shot in Ireland last year, and it was a wild ride. We shot 6 episodes in 6 weeks. Jeez. We pulled it off somehow, and it's aired in Ireland. So I'm thrilled it's finally on in Canada.
Is this your first time playing a Canadian?
That's a great question. Do you know what? I think it is.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I did a real string of small town Americans in my early days in London. A lot of Christians from Utah. That seemed to be my niche.
Yeah. Typecast.
Exactly. So yeah, no, finally a Canadian. I had to practice my, I've lived out of Canada for so long. When I say sorry now, which is terrible. So I had to practice saying my sorries, right?
Oh yeah, you have to get your. I mean,
my heart down.
I'm from Newfoundland, so I feel like I'm also learning how to talk like someone, you know, in the rest of Canada. You know, I'm always saying like sorry, you know, and
sorry.
I'm always saying like sorry, bye, sorry, and I'm, you know, people are always correcting me. By the way, thank you, people of Canada.
thank you and sorry.
Thank you and sorry.
Sorry.
Now, I would imagine, we were talking about this before we came in, I would imagine, and I want to be sensitive here, this is not an easy time to be putting out anything. It's not an easy time to have Barry closing up, but it's not an easy time to have a new show launching with the writer's strike in happening in the U.S. right now. I should be clear, Sisters is a Canadian and Irish production, and it's already aired and all that kind of stuff. I guess I just wanted to open the floor to you. Like, how are you? How has it been for you?
I'm happy that it's happening. And I think things sometimes have to get really messy before they get better, you know? And there's a lot that needs to change in the business. You know, the way in which we consume television and consume art has changed so enormously in the last decade. And contracts haven't followed, you know, they haven't met those changes. And we haven't caught up with ourselves. And the cracks are really showing. And it's a scary time for a lot of people in this business who are jobbing actors and jobbing writers and all the securities that we could rely on, like residuals and things like that, are falling away. So I think it's an incredibly important strike. And we'll see what happens with SAG and the DGA. But I would like to see major changes happen. Otherwise, we're going to lose a middle class of artists. And we can't live with that polarity. You know, it's like, it shouldn't just be the elite in this business who are able to make work. And I really learned that doing Sisters. You know, we were a small international production, and it's challenging to work under those circumstances on that kind of budget. And I don't want to see that happen to TV and film. So let's see what happens. But I think it's an important moment.
Someone put it this way the other day, that like, we in Canada, we feel like we're looking at the future. We feel like this is a battle being fought for a lot of Canadian writers who are writing in Canada and people who are making film in Canada. So I appreciate you giving your perspective on that.
I'm glad. And I wonder, like, whether Canada and the UK, like, if all of us need to step up and follow. You know, I live in London now, so I'm working on a series over there, and it's like, we'll see. But internationally, it might be important as well that we all band together so that we see a change for all of our futures in this business.
I appreciate that. I want to be cautious of your time, and I can feel the laser pointer at my head. But I'll
the device just explodes.
If it hasn't happened yet, it's not going to happen now. I mean, one thing that's come across to me in this conversation so far is how transformational Barry was. And I think a lot of actors say that to me, you know, like, oh yeah, it was a role that changed my life or whatever. And sure. In this case, it really was. Like, it really did kind of change everything. You told me how your show was, you know, you were on the show that got canceled beforehand, how you got brought onto the show. You had to step outside your comfort zone a million times. You had to advocate for your character to allow her to be this complex. You had to kind of take in kind of this misogynist criticism of the character about her likability. Like, looking back on it now, as people are watching the last season, Sarah, what are you most proud of when you look back at your time on Barry?
I think that we all developed this kind of fearlessness. That's what I'm most proud of. You know, we all came in with our ways of working, and then we learned to work as a team. And you know, I'd come from a controlled kind of way of working from having been on stage so many years. And I learned to let that all go and be sort of free in front of the camera and find things in the moment and surprise yourself. And then I was able to bring that to my own show and encourage other actors to work that way when we were making Sisters. And, you know, there was a real freedom in it. And that's what I'm most proud of. It's sort of the freedom to create we found within a structure that, you know, doesn't always allow for that. I'm really proud that we held on to that for all those years.
That and the image of Henry Winkler searching for his car.
I know. The legend that he is.
Sarah, I didn't know until I had watched the first couple of seasons of Barry that you were Canadian. It's exciting to get to talk to you as a Canadian actor who's doing such amazing stuff. Congratulations on the new show. Congratulations on Barry. Thanks for coming on the CBC, and take care of yourself.
Thank you. It's so exciting for me to speak to a fellow Canadian. I'm homesick now. It's lovely to meet you, Tom.
Do you want to do a little sorry?
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Tom.
Sorry, Sarah.
Sorry if we went over.
Sorry if we went on a bit long there.
Sorry.
I got to tell you, I'm not I think I said that in the interview. I'm not a sorry Canadian. Like, that's not the part of the country that I'm from, but it's kind of fun to do. It's kind of fun to feel like I'm going to put on a toque and a, I don't know, plaid jacket and something, maple syrupy. I don't know. But it's fun to talk to Sarah Goldberg. It's funny how we became, like, it's funny what our presentation of Canadian was to one another. I find that interesting. But I won't nerd out. Sarah Goldberg was my guest. The final episode of Barry premieres May 28th. Sarah's new show, Sisters, is out now. You can find both series on Crave. That's it for this podcast today. Our other podcast that's up today is about the Canadian musician Witch Prophet, and she'll tell you about her experience with something called temporal lobe epilepsy, which she says caused her to have these prophetic dreams and intense seizures. She's written about the experience on her new record, Gateway Experience, and she'll be here to tell you all about it and play you a song. All right, that's over on her podcast. If you want to get in touch with the show, q@cbc.ca is your best way to do that. We'll see you soon. Later on.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.